This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next few minutes of this program on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 24th, along with the church, we'll remember Saint Bartholomew. Now, if you look up the name in a concordance, you will find scant information on Bartholomew. He's mentioned, I think, a couple times, but by another name, perhaps we know more. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He joins us to talk about and remember St. Bartholomew. Dr. Scare, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, good to be with you, Todd.
Are we getting kind of 2-for-1 in remembering Bartholomew? There seems to be some confusion as to whether or not he might be the same person as John's Nathaniel.
Yeah, probably so. When you look at the lists of the apostles in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but you look at the list of, let's say, Matthew chapter 10, you'll see that that Bartholomew is mentioned there along with, I guess he tends to be along there with Philip. So in the list of Matthew 10, it says, among the 12 disciples who then became apostles are Philip and Bartholomew. When you look at the Gospel of John, the name Bartholomew doesn't show up at all. But it seems to be the same person who is Nathanael, who we meet as a friend of Philip's. So if I'd make a bet on it, I think we're talking about the same person.
So going on that assumption, there is remarkably little said in the Gospels about Bartholomew other than his name being mentioned, but there is something told us of Nathanael, perhaps we'll say likely the same man. What do we know about Bartholomew / Nathanael?
Well, you know, it's even if you're not a great president, it's still nice to be in the Hall of Presidents there and to be named among them, and to be named among the 12 apostles is an incredible thing, and it's important for the foundation of the new church of the new Israel, which is the church. But we do know more about Bartholomew in the Gospel of John. If this is the same person, in fact, the story of his calling comes. It's very early on. I guess it's almost foundational for the Gospel of John. We don't get the same kind of stories that you have in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the concentration is on the big three, on Peter, James, and John, and their calling as fishermen, and on Matthew. But in the Gospel of John, we're told the story about how Philip came to follow Jesus, and then Philip, I guess, finds his friend Nathanael, and he gives them this good news. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael, or Bartholomew, comes up with this iconic or great question, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then Philip says to Bartholomew or Nathanael, he says, come and see. And which is a great evangelism tool, is when we have people that we tell them about Jesus and we say, you want to learn more about him, come to the church, come and see who he is. So then Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus, and they have this great encounter.
You almost get the impression that Jesus is either humoring him or toying with him a little bit when he has this interchange with Nathanael.
Yeah, I love it. I think Jesus is really amused by him, because I don't know if you've had these people in your life, but sometimes the simple friends are often the best friends that you have. the ones that kind of take you at your word and will go along with you when you're scheming and plotting, and they're the people who kind of take you for, you know, at face value. And it seems to me Jesus is amused, and he sees Nathanael, and he says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no," well, the new translation is deceit, but "and there is no guile in this person." He's not covering anything up. He's kind of, you know, what you see is what you get kind of a person. And it is fun because Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" And then Jesus says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, that he's being seen underneath the fig tree is probably an indication that that's kind of an image of what it looks like for somebody who's studying the Bible. That's to say, when you're studying the Hebrew Scriptures, I don't know, maybe they have that same sort of image today of, you know, you're sitting on the college campus underneath the tree with the, you know, the grass in your mouth sort of a thing. Well, he's underneath the fig tree studying Jesus. And by the way, that's kind of interesting for the Gospel of John, because there's a reason the disciples could identify Jesus so quickly, as Nathanael does here, because they've been reading their Old Testament. They know their Old Testament. So when Jesus comes, they're ready. And if there's anybody who is ready, it's Nathanael, because he says, "Rabbi," so teacher, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." I mean, it's a stunning confession of faith. And it doesn't take, you know, when you're reading the Gospel of Matthew, it's so climactic. You wait for 15 chapters, then the 16th chapter, where Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, seems like it took Peter a long time and the disciples a long time to come to grips with who Jesus was, which is, you know, that's true. But in another sense, here is Nathanael, a man without any guile, who meets Jesus and comes up with this almost preposterous but yet wonderful confession of Jesus as the Son of God and the King of Israel, the Christ and God's Son. What greater confession could you want?
It is reported by Eusebius in his very, very early church history that Bartholomew, that's the name he uses, travels to India, even carries a copy of the Gospel of Matthew there. And in his missionary work, and then other legends attribute to him all sorts of other travels in northern Africa and elsewhere. The thing that people might find most weird about Bartholomew/Nathanael is how he is depicted in ancient Christian art. It's pretty gruesome, in fact. He's often depicted as wrapped up in his own skin or carrying his own skin. What is that all about?
Yeah, I mean, might as well do the Dan Brown thing and look at the pictures on the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo, and the Last Judgment. And there's actually it's frightening in a way, but also heroic picture of Bartholomew out of his skin, holding his skin. I guess the legend is, and you know, it might be true, that he was flayed alive, so he was skinned and put to death for the faith. Now, whether that's right or not, and the way he died, very well could have been. But we do know that 11 of the 12 apostles did give up their lives for the sake of Christ. So he lived heroically. I mean, the fact that that's also kind of, you know, intrigues me is of the 12 apostles, we hear a lot about Peter and, you know, Paul in the book of Acts. But the other fellows were doing great things going throughout the world, spreading the gospel. So though we don't hear about them in Acts, their impact is still with us and with Christianity today.
With only about a minute, Nathanael's confession comes early in John's gospel, and I wonder how we are to understand that, given the fact that John tells us explicitly that this is the reason for which he is writing, that people might know of Jesus Christ, believe in him, and have eternal life. How does that cast light upon the significance of this very early confession by Nathanael/Bartholomew?
Well, I think John is a way of saying he's a great, you know, the democratizer of the Gospels. That's not simply just Peter who confesses, but, at the end of the Gospel, he shows up too, and Jesus appears to seven disciples, including Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael, who, by the way, was from Cana. And when you think about those three people, Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael, Interspersed there are three great confessions. We know of Peter's confession from Matthew. We know of Thomas, who comes up with the climactic confession, feeling the flesh of our Lord and saying, "My Lord and my God." And we see it of Nathanael. And through that confession of Nathanael, we too are invited with Nathanael to confess Jesus as the one who is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. And now we're invited to watch greater things, because, you know, Nathanael was amazed at this, seeing the sign of that he knew who he was. Well, Jesus says, "I'll show you greater things. You're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And by that, he means he's inviting us to look at the cross, which is upon which Jesus will die and by which he will connect heaven and earth.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Scare, thank you very much for being our guest.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
All right, when we come back, the last half hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 24th, we'll spend reviewing Philip Pullman's new book. His first book that really hit, His Dark Materials, was kind of an atheist take on the Chronicles of Narnia, if you're familiar with C.S. Lewis's long series of novels there. His latest, he takes apart Jesus and Christ and has titled his book, The Good Man Jesus and The Scoundrel Christ. We'll review that book with Dr. Craig Hazen of Biola University, author of the books Five Sacred Crossings and The Village Enlightenment in America, on the other side of this break. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. I want to hear from you if you've read Philip Pullman's book, either his last book or his latest book, The Good Man, Jesus, and The Scoundrel Christ. If you have questions or comments on Philip Pullman and his books, 1-877-623-MY-IE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet right here in the studio at @IssuesETC. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc., a review of Philip Pullman's book, Good Man Jesus, Scoundrel Christ, after this.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Pro-life conservatives have long been castigated by the media and far-left individuals as being hateful and bigoted. But most of the anger is coming from the left. Here's an example. New Hampshire State Rep. Timothy Horgan blogged he wished Sarah Palin and the father of her grandson would have been on the plane that crashed in Alaska. Lots of people were upset, and now Horgan has resigned and won't run for re-election. Then he blogged, "I apologize to anyone who feels they need an apology from me." Yeah, like that's a sincere apology. I found far-left pro-abortion people can be the most hateful, bigoted individuals in society. Jesus said we'd know the end times because of the increase of wickedness and the love of most will grow cold. So guard your hearts.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.